For your entertainment, an outstanding television personality, raconteur, an outstanding author, two of the books that we all know about, is My Brother Was an Only Child and Never Trust a Naked Bus Driver. We take pleasure now in presenting Mr. Jack Douglas.
Courageous recording company, Columbia, is making an album. And it'll be released in 1968, and I hope you're all lined up with me. I was sitting back there with a friend, I'm down to one, and I had a real wild thought about this guy who lives on this big ranch out in Wyoming, and he's very happy until one day he gets a Dear John letter from a sheep. You know, that's the biggest reaction I ever got to that line. And I want to congratulate you all, and you're all under arrest. I really shouldn't feel so chipper tonight because just 3 days ago I lost my second wife in a wishing well. Those things really work, don't they? We have a lot of celebrities in the audience tonight, and just look around, I'm sure you'll all recognize each other. But I'm on the emergency ready whip team here in New York. It's not what you think. It's maybe better the other way. But you know, these jet planes, they're still having trouble with them. The landing gears, you know, sometimes they get over New York and they can't get them down, or the wheels fall off as they leave Muskogee, or they forget to put the wheels on the factory. Anyway, they cruise over to New York for hour after hour after hour, you know, and if you got on a Bridgeport or someplace like that, and it's supposed to take 20 minutes, you get a little worried, you know. And we get these calls in the middle of the night, grab your can, not being vulgar, ready whip comes in a can, and get out to the airport. So we got this call this morning, very early, all of us at the Y, and we went out to the airport. Better than thinking. Anyway, we all rushed out there and spread the stuff on the runway nice and smooth, nice and deep, nice and even, and we were all at LaGuardia, and the plane landed at Idlewild. I never tell you. You know, they have a course that they give the pilots now at the actor's studio in case of these emergencies where they can't get the wheels down, you know? And they have to know what to say to calm the passengers. And all of a sudden you hear, you're cruising around over New York City for hour after hour, and all of a sudden over the intercom you hear, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. And the next voice you hear may surprise you. This is a recording. Oh, boy. That makes you tighten your belt and tell your beads. But I want to say bless you all for coming. That's what dear old Sister Amy used to say out in Los Angeles. Sister Amy was a very progressive evangelist out in Los Angeles. And she there was a book written about her last year called The Vanishing Evangelist, because she actually vanished one day. She was swimming off the beach at Santa Monica, California, and she just disappeared. Everyone thought she was gone for good. And they built a, you know, took up a big collection, they built a monument and everything and spelled her name wrong accidentally. And 2 months later, she showed up in the desert in Mexico with some story about being kidnapped, which, of course, nobody believed. And on further investigation, they found out that she was shacking up, which is a colloquialism in California, and spreading rapidly. But she was shacking up with this guy up in Carmel for the whole 2 months that she was gone, you know. He was the radio operator from the Tabernacle that she was running down in Los Angeles. Real cozy setup. She wanted to sing on the program or something. But anyway, Sister Amy, the reason I tell you this, she was the one that accidentally drowned my cousin. Now, this happened at a place called Pickfair, which was a big estate in Beverly Hills, formerly owned by Mary Pickford and Douglas Fairbanks Sr. Anyway, Doug Fairbanks Sr. did one too many push-ups one day, and just like that, he was in that big Vic Tannies in the sky. And Mary Pickford, who had long gray curls, tinted them black out of respect, and 3 days later she married Buddy Rogers. And they fooled around with the name, and I tried Raj Pick. Pick Raj, Mayor Bud, Bud Mayor, nothing worked. Anyway, the reason I tell you about this is because Sister Amy, one Sunday out of Pickfair, had this combination revival meeting, an orgy. And it depended on what color your ticket was. Which group you got to mingle with. And Sister Amy was baptizing my cousin in what she thought was the shallow end of the swimming pool. And that's when we lost old Herb. We all saw him down there. We thought he was treading water, a little deep, you know. And they sent a skin diver down with a harpoon. I thought that was a mistake. Anyway, but he's gone. He was kind of glad to go, I think, because he was a real far-out character. You know, he was sort of a black sheep of the family. He married out of his class, married a girl. And he tore his name out of the Scarsdale phone book just like that, you know. And he also, before that, he went up to Westport up in Connecticut and bought a beautiful brand new house and made it over into an old barn. And you know that saying, you can't fight City Hall? Well, he proved that you could. He went to a small town and turned the cannon around and blew hell out of it. But, wow. Finally got to her. Anyway, that's the only cannon joke I have. I'm sorry. But I'm very glad to be here at the Bon Soir, which means good soup. And I had to go through quite a rigmarole in order to lecture down here. First, I had to join the United Mine Workers Union. There's been a cave-in. And then I had to go down to the police department and get a police car. You go down to 156 Greenwich Street, which is right near 156 Greenwich Street. It's moved to Worth Street, actually. And the guy, the desk sergeant, looks at you and says, have you been arrested before? I said, geez, what do you mean, I'm arrested now? He says, no. Don't confuse us, you know. We're trying to do the best we can down here. These are the questions, answer them. Second question is, do you own any Billy Daniels records? You do, you're dead. Third question is, have you turned your zip gun over to the General American? Now, the General American's been collecting zip guns for about 2 years now. I don't know what the hell they're doing with them, but I don't think they're worried about Russia so much anymore. But I think we really should keep our eye on the General American. Because they bought uniforms last week at Brooks Brothers. They're going to have a National Shoulder Parade one of these days on Fifth Avenue. But anyway, as I say, I'm very glad to be here. And I don't want you to think it's the first time I've ever done anything like this before. But, I have done things like this before. Years and years ago, I appeared in quite a few motion pictures. I appeared in some dirty Argang comedies. And they used to make two versions, you know, one for Cuba. And the baby Peggy and I could speak Spanish. But anyway, my mother was in show business. She was she wasn't famous like, you know, Ann Corio or Margie Hart or Tempest Storm or Candy Barr or Wrinkles Randall. You ever see Wrinkles Randall? She's one of the older ones. She comes out the runway and irons herself out. But mother was a striptease over in Italy. She was an Italian, that was handier, and she used to work in a pizza parlor over there. The food was lousy, so they had entertainment, you see. And Mother used to work in these pizza parlors all over Italy, and she used to come out on the runway dressed in 3 pieces of spaghetti and bump off the meat sauce. Which was necessarily a very sloppy act. But Mother, God rest her soul, because she's still alive, was no Lucius Beebe herself. And Dad, we used to call him, he was for an honorary title. He had some cards printed. He was stage struck, and he had some cards printed that said Lion Tamer. Well, he wasn't a lion tamer at all. What actually happened, he used to work these little circuses around these, every once in a while, just for laughs, he used to shove him into a cage with a spastic cat. Cannons and spastic cats. Well, before I forget, you know, Jerry Lewis, you'll like this. Jerry Lewis is now the president of the Spastic Cats of America, you know? He finally ran out of people. And you know, if you were in this business, you have to push some disease, and I'm getting behind jungle rot. And we're gonna have a, you know, probably have a telethon with Jan Murray. And actually, Dad, he wasn't show business years and years ago. He was one of the first professional female impersonators, you know? Very famous. He thought of it long before T.C. Jones or Eartha Kitt or anybody like that. And Dad was working in Paris when World War I. Dad was working in Paris when World War I started, and he changed his name to Matahari to give the act a little class. Little did he know, there was some nosy corporal by the name of De Gaulle who singled him out for a spy. And the first thing you know, Dad was standing up in front of a firing squad, which there he refused the rose-colored blindfold because it clashed. And he refused a cigarette because he promised his mother. And he was executed as a spy. And the very next day, the National Association for the Advancement of Spies in America erected a statue of him in Central Park. It's a huge bronze horse with Dad's face at both ends. And it's an interesting experiment. And actually, as female impersonation is the world's 86th oldest profession. It comes right after beaded bag beating and snake cooling. You know, snakes are born hot and you have to cool them off a little bit. But I'm looking forward to going to camp again this summer. Not much of a segue, is it? Anyway. But I am going to camp. Mother sends me every summer, you know. Actually, I'm a counselor and a part-time smoking instructor. And all the kids have their own cigarettes with their own little labels sewed on them, you know. Mother works all winter long. And this is an off-Broadway camp. I guess it has to be. It's up in Maine. It's a wonderful camp. And they every evening after supper, they march all the kids into the rec hall. And they show them 3 or 4 Bridget Bardot movies. And after that, the bugler plays taps and they chain the kids to their cots. Because across the lake, there's a girls' camp. It's about a 14-mile swim, but some of the kids have made it, cots and all. And it's uphill, you know, because Maine slants on the map anyway. But it's a wonderful camp. They have the honor system there. The kids get out of line, they give them the little plastic bags and hope they do the right thing. And it's a lot safer than the Lugers, you know, they used to lose a lot of counselors that way. But it's a wonderful camp, and for $1,000, you can send your kid to camp for 2 weeks. That's what I'm trying to say. Of course, that doesn't include horseback riding or water skiing or Charlton Heston reading the Bible or anything like that. Actually, for $1,000, they take him out in the woods and just drop him off and hope he meets a friendly Indian or a pilgrim. But it's really great. The kids are back in camp. It's brown as a berry. I never saw a berry that was brown yet, but anyway, that's the expression. And you say to him, well, Johnny, how'd you like camp? And he gets sort of a sneer on his face as he says, okay, if you like that sort of thing. Gives you a nice warm glow as you sit there chipping the sneakers off his feet. If you're smart, you'll just leave them on, believe me. By and large, you refuse and shove the whole thing in there. But I do this as a therapy for me. I think when you work with your hands, it keeps you nice and nervous. And a few years ago, I had another hobby. I used to, back in my garage, actually the garage was the front of this little workshop I had where I used to build models. Of course, I didn't live long. long enough. I went to a to go to the Harvest Moon Ball. Cannons. Where are you? Pistols? All right. I went to a cocktail party this afternoon. It was a literary cocktail party. It was given for a guy who was going to write a book. When he got around to it, you know, he bought a typewriter and rented some cheap fingers, too. And everybody there was a literary cocktail party, as I say, a little different than an ordinary type cocktail party. Almost everybody there had a... oh, I'm fooling around with those words. Almost everybody there had a beard. I noticed even some of the men were trying to raise. But it was a very interesting party. There was a guy there, long, white, flowing robes. And I thought it was Moondog in a summer uniform. Anyway, this guy wasn't Moondog at all. He was the head of some Zen group, and everything's Zen these days. And actually, about 6 months ago, I joined a Zen group myself, and they screen you very carefully. And today, I got the card, and today I'm a full-fledged Zen Shagetz, which is a Jewish word, and I'm an Episcopalian, and we don't have any funny words. And there's only three Episcopalians left, you know, there were four. And Leon Uris, who wrote that great book, Exodus, is writing a two-page novel about the Episcopalians. On how he escaped from Southampton in a cabin cruiser. He went to the Fontainebleau. But there were some other very interesting people at this party. The Countess Mozzarella was there. You know, she's the society editor of the Tijuana Bulletin. And of course, almost everybody in Tijuana smokes the Bulletin. And Sal Hurok was there. You know, Sal Hurok that has the upstairs and the downstairs of the Metropolitan Opera House. He was there. He's the one that brought over the wonderful Bolshoi Ballet and the Moshe of Dancers. You know, next fall he's bringing over the Soviet Army. And we're going to be doing the dancing. There was another guy there, a very interesting character. He was the inventor of the combination Band-Aid and wound. And, you know, saves time. And Johnson & Johnson putting out the pretty little pictures on the back, you know, you can be bleeding to death and amuse yourself at the same time. There was a girl there. Two girls, actually. There was one girl, everybody was walking around, I know, she weighed about 400 pounds, and she was only about 2 feet tall. And we all thought she was a hassock, you know. And from Foam City, her brother was there. He was an interesting character. He was running through the ashtrays in his bare feet, you know, trying out for the Olympic here, Mau Mau firewalking team. And he just graduated from Harvard last year, where his class had voted him the one most likely to be found dead in a motel. Alone. A blow, wasn't it? There's another girl there that was, I was very interested in. I was trying to get her to come across the across town to where I live. I live over on the river, you know, in a canoe. And actually, I live on the top floor of a very nice apartment, on the top floor of a burning building. And I'm a bachelor, and I have this little Filipino houseboy who comes in every day. He has his own car. Well, he has to because he lives in Manila, you know. He wipes his feet, so it's all right. But I was trying to talk to this girl. I really couldn't get through to her because she was drinking a very strange combination of booze. She was drinking Sterno and goat's milk directly from the can or from the goat. And I noticed as the party progressed, the goat was becoming a lot easier to catch. How many goat lovers here tonight? Well, that's the way it happened some night. But she had come to New York. This girl was very frustrated. Come to New York about 68 years ago to get on the stage, and so far she couldn't get a job, you know? And she was about 38 when she got here. So she was real frustrated. And I told her about this place over on 8th Avenue called Joe's Bar and Grill and Bar, which is a very interesting, which isn't really a redundancy on 8th Avenue. And 8th Avenue itself is very interesting. Yesterday I saw a pet shop over there with children in the window, which may be a step in the right direction. But